Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, ma'am.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I apologize for the technical difficulties, and I thank you so much for your patience.
Oh, my goodness. I understand totally. Technology is awesome, but sometimes we have issues.
Yes, and you know, it helps us to build our patience and our tolerance. So we thank God for that.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you. Thank you so much for having me here today.
For being up so early in order to get into conversation with myself and the visitors, because I know you are a late person like myself. And for those people in the chat room, I want to go ahead and let you know how much we appreciate you. And I will be getting to you in a minute because we love Blog Talk, but sometimes, as you heard me just mention, it stretches our tolerance level, and this morning is one of those mornings. So I am working on getting the chat room back up, but in the meantime, I want to have my new friend and business partner, Phyllis C. Ifano. Did I get that correctly?
C. Inferno.
C. Inferno. And I want to ask Phyllis to just go ahead and just introduce herself to you, the listeners. Phyllis, please go ahead and introduce yourself.
Absolutely, and thank you so much for really allowing me to be a part of your show today, Daphne. I'm very excited to be here. You know, I actually, my name is Phyllis C. Infrano, and I was really born and raised, you know, in the New Jersey area, just right outside the Trenton, New Jersey area, the capital of New Jersey, actually. And you can read on her backroom site here, is that I've been in the an industry for 27 years, and I've had some great successes, but I've also had some a lot of failures along the line, or I should say opportunities along the lines as well. And I'm here to share with you, I'm a regular person. I have a very humble beginning. I did not come to this world with a silver spoon in my mouth. You know, I didn't write many books and that kind of stuff. I'm just a humble person that I believe has done, you know, fairly well for themselves, and my hopes is to be able to continue to help others do the same.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Phyllis. And I have to give a credit to Facebook, because although Phyllis and I have not met personally, we happen to be friends on Facebook, and that's how I learn about all the amazing things Phyllis has done in the past and is still doing. And one of the things that attracted me to Phyllis is the track record that for 27 years she ran and managed a huge corporation, you know, a multi-million dollar corporation. And I looked at her profile and I said, oh, my God, you know, there are women who are doing amazing things, and we hardly ever hear about them unless they are prominent authors or speakers. Those that are kind of under the radar, if you may, we don't hear about them. And I said, I am sure that this lady has something to teach myself and my listeners. And I reach out to Phyllis, and then she not only replied via email, we were on the telephone speaking for over 2 hours. So I tell you, listeners, this lady is someone who wants to give, who knows what it is to develop and empower people. And when she gets into her story around her corporate days, you will understand what I am talking about. So, Phyllis, again, I just want to share appreciation and gratitude.
Well, thank you so much. I'm actually very gracious, and I have I'm very excited to be here, and it's an honor for me to address you and to address your listeners. Because that's basically, the listeners are basically what I'm about. I'm about I'm about empowering people and helping people, and I've done that my entire life, and I am very excited, and thank you so much again, you know, for allowing me to speak.
Right. Let us go back. We know you mentioned about being born and raised in Trenton, New Jersey, and I tell you, you are maybe a creature of habit, if we say. You didn't go too far, because now you're just over the water, across the water, because you're in Philadelphia now. So you didn't go too far from home, because you want to be close to family and old friends. So you didn't travel.
Absolutely.
right?
Absolutely. I did not travel far at all. I'm actually in Pennsylvania, directly across the river.
Pennsylvania.
That's okay. I actually am about 10 minutes outside of New Jersey.
Yes.
So it's literally across the river, and I am back in my hometown. So you're right. I have a lot of family and a lot of friends in this area, and I didn't move too far. Absolutely not.
Mm-hmm. Phyllis, let us go visit your corporate days, because it's very rarely you learn of someone who spent 27 years in a corporation, and all of a sudden you're talking to them a few years later, and you're talking to someone who is a successful entrepreneur. Let us talk about those corporate days, please.
I sure can. I'd like to back up a little bit, if you don't mind. Can I kind of go back and give you a little bit of background about, how I kind of got into that corporate arena? Would you mind if I did that?
No, go ahead.
Okay, great. Well, basically, like I had said, I had a very, very modest background, and I just knew in my heart, and I knew in my knower, and that's my brain, that I wanted to grow up and be an impact on many, many, many people. I didn't really know that, I guess, going through my life, but as I went through my life, I found myself really being connected into those areas. You know, I come from a very humble background. My dad, he worked a couple jobs, and we came from an environment basically where, we didn't have a whole lot of money. And I grew up, with the mantra that money doesn't grow on trees.
Mm-hmm.
So I think what happened to me back then was I started to kind of be afraid. I was afraid of money, afraid of being successful. And I knew that I didn't want to continue to be in that same path that that I pretty much was raised in. I had a wonderful family environment, absolutely great environment. But I also know that it was very difficult times, and in order for me to be able to break that trend, that I needed to start looking outside of what I've already learned. So I started at a very early age, doing many things. I mean, doing the whole lemonade stands and all those entrepreneurial type of things that kids do. But I found myself being different. I found myself really wanting to do everything to the best of my ability, meaning even as much as putting two ice cubes in the lemonade drink opposed to one. Everything I did was based on that fact, on how I can be the best. So growing up, I actually had to work at a very, very early age, and I worked in the supermarket industry as a 14-year-old. And that was just probably just one of my jobs, many jobs that I've had prior as well. And I grew up in the industry. My dad got me a job because I had to help pay for some of the additional things that I needed as a young adult, because we can only afford what basically our everyday needs. So basically, I could not afford the extra pair of shoes or the extra anything unless I actually worked for it. And, I thank God every day that that was part of my journey.
Mm-hmm.
I always looked for challenges. Even when I got involved in the supermarket industry, I was 14 years old, and I got the job, and I chose at that very time that I'm going to be the best that I could be, and that I looked around me and I saw the people who worked in the industry. And at the time, the industry was pretty prestigious. Right now, it may not be as much so, but it was really prestigious back there to be in that industry. And I looked around and I saw different leaders that I started to have some really, really deep respect for. And I knew in my heart that I wanted to be just like them. And one of the things that just excited me about them was how much they cared about some of these youngsters, including myself, and how much they wanted you to be successful, and how much they nurtured you and mentored you, even though I had no idea what the word even meant back then. So yes. my friends actually, Daphne, used to laugh at me because they'd say to me, I can't believe, Phyllis, you're going to drive back from the beach to go to work. Everybody else was calling out sick and not going in, but I really felt such a desire and a need to be able to learn everything I could in a very, very early age. And that gave me a great understanding of what my worth ethic is and what I know of it today. You know, I had my mind set that I would conquer every single job or any single task that would come my way. And looking back on it, you know, in my subconscious mind, it probably was telling me, you know, to look for success. Don't be afraid of money. Money doesn't grow on trees, but you can actually be successful as long as you have the three very strong pillars. And the one pillar that I work with is the first thing was worth ethic. You know, you needed to have a worth ethic that you can actually be incredible yourself, but you also can teach others to have that same worth ethic. The second thing was for me, Daphne, is I grew up in a Catholic environment, and my spiritual belief in God has helped me through so many challenges, good and not so good. And so that's the second pillar that I felt I needed growing up. And the third was is how to be the best, you know, personal coach and mentor and teacher to so many other people so that they can have the same successes or have what their heart desires. So as I started working my way up through the ranks in the supermarket industry, going to school and so on, there are great lessons that I learned along the way. One of the biggest lessons I learned was that, you know, money is not everything. And in corporate America, as I started growing up in the industry and got promoted and promoted and promoted throughout the years, and mind you, I was in an environment that was not really always looked towards a woman to be in leadership. You know, I was the one of the only vice presidents of operations on the East Coast at one point, and I look back on that, and it took me a real long time to get there. There was a lot of hurdles. There was a lot of life lessons I learned. Not everything came, you know, very easily for me. You know, I was in the industry. I was stocking shelves, for goodness sake. You know, I was running a register. I was slicing lunch meat. I was doing things that every normal child or young adult would do. Because I knew that I had to learn everything there was, not only about my job, but also about life. You know, there were so many negative lessons I learned going through my early days as well. I recognized that I wish it was a little bit earlier, but in some of my days that, you know, like I said, money's not everything. And when you get into a corporate environment, I've been out of it for 5 years now, but I started learning some lessons early on, and I learned that when you start to become, and this is what's happening to me, and I'm not saying this is what exactly happens in the corporate world. I'm telling you my story and what it's personally done for me. I loved what I did. I was able to nurture and mentor and help so many people who wanted help along the way. Mm-hmm. You know, and then as I became more successful in my career, the industry and my career actually and where I was started pulling me away, you know, from some of the things that I believed in my heart, and it became more of a bottom line, you know, how do we about dollars, not about people, and I found myself really starting to just being so like not fulfilled. And right. After a very, very long time, you know, I had this void that was really creeping up inside of me, and I couldn't figure out what it was. And I started to look back, and I said, you know, what is it that's missing? And as I grew up and came into this industry, what happened to me was I was in a position where I basically had everything done for me. you know, I had a big staff and thousands of people and so on and so forth. And I got so disconnected because of the way the hierarchy was that I found myself not really doing those things that I love. And that is to be around people, to help people learn, and to help people find things in themselves that they may not find in themselves by themselves, if that makes sense. And I would help them bring this out. So looking back on that, I said to myself, I can't do this any further. Because what I found honestly was it got to a point in my career back in, I guess it was in 04, I started really getting this kind of like almost like an icky feeling, for lack of a better word. And when I drove home at night, I felt really icky. I didn't feel well. And I started looking at that and saying, what is it, Phyllis? You know, what is it that has been so, what's so disturbing to you? Mm-hmm. You know, and there was three huge fears that I had also, Daphne, and I know everybody has fears. I had three huge fears. The first fear that I had, you know, growing up and even in corporate America was I had the fear of, as everybody does, dying, getting sick, you know, and you're, people are probably thinking, why is she talking about that? But you'll hear in a second. The other thing, my other biggest fear was losing my mother, you know, somebody that I absolutely loved with all my heart, and who, even though we didn't have, you know, every single thing is from a monetary perspective, but we had everything from a love perspective in our family. I always feared losing her, you know, instead of enjoying that while I had her. And the third thing was, you know, really was getting cancer. Was one of those really scary things, getting cancer. So I started to really look at, obviously, my beliefs. I had to really start to look at that. I had to look at where I was in my career. And what was I doing, what it is that I really am meant to do? What's my purpose? You know, because I really felt like my purpose was not where it was. You know, where was my purpose? I needed to search for it. So during that time, I, you know, was really searching. And I worked for a corporation for many years, as I told you. And my job went from being like I said, a nurturer, to becoming more of a, oh my gosh, a terminator. Okay, that's basically the word I can say. Because what happened is I found myself becoming this person that really wasn't me. Because in corporate, where I was, you were expect to be someone. You were expect to, if someone is not working out, your job isn't to nurture and mentor them. Your job is to get rid of them. Your job is not to help them move along. Your job is to watch what the bottom line is. And throughout the years, that became more and more prevalent to me. And the more and more it started to really frighten me. But however, when you're making a serious income, and I was, and I thank God every day I was, but I was becoming somebody that I really, truly never in my wildest dreams thought I would be. And I found myself doing things, and I don't mean I'm not doing things. I wasn't killing anybody, God forbid. But I was doing things that were not something that I personally would enjoy. You know, I would enjoy more of helping someone succeed opposed to just firing them or letting them go and then help and watching them flounder for the next couple of years. You know, I was safe in my career, I thought. Yeah, I really thought I was because I was in the industry for so many years and I was well-liked. But as the time passed, I started shying away from what they wanted me to become. And I started really looking at where I was, and I said, I cannot do this. You know, Lord, show me a different path. I cannot continue to do this. Mm-hmm. And in 2004, one of my fears came to fruition. In 2004, I lost my mother September the 1st, and of a very, very serious lung cancer. It was the most devastating time of my life. And that was a fear I knew my entire life, that I always was so afraid of facing that fear. during that time, I must tell you, that I started seeing and feeling some handwritings on the wall, so to speak, in the industry I was in. And I started feeling like they were watching me because I was trying to break away from who it is that they wanted me to be and being more who I was. And that was not something that was looked upon as being such a well-liked situation. So then next came my other big fear, and my other big fear came just a few months after my mother passed away on January 5th of 2005. I walked into our office, and unfortunately at that time, I no longer had a job. And I was like, oh, my goodness, you know, here I am, the person who built, you know, multi-million dollars, you know, for this corporation and has done so many great things. You know, here I am just like the people that I had to turn around at one point and let go. I was in that same exact shoe. So that was a fear of mine and a fear that came true. Now, I went through some angry times, very, very, yes.
I want to interject here.
Sure.
Because I want to point something out about God and prayer and asking for things. At that time when you walked in and you realized you did not have a job any longer with that company, you forgot at that moment that you had asked God to show you a path.
Did absolutely. Yes, I did. You are absolutely right. And I had no idea. I just felt the anger coming over me and just feeling like, oh, my gosh, what do I do? I just lost my mother. Now I have this second fear. I lost my job, you know, but I didn't think back on that, Daphne, that God was showing me a different way. I had no idea. And it took me quite a while to figure that out. It took me quite a while. In fact, it took me until just a few years ago, 3 years ago in July, okay, my third fear came. The third fear was that I got cancer. I had gotten cancer in July, and I was like, I could not believe it. Now, mind you, during this time, I kept on asking God to show me the way. And I think he was giving me a lot of great tips along the way, what to do. Phyllis, slow down. Get out of corporate America. It's not for you. I think that 2x4 was coming and cracking me on the head so many times throughout that time. But you know what, Daphne? I didn't hear it. I didn't hear it, you know, at all. And then when I got...
I want to interject here again because...
Sure.
You said a lot and... time is going by and everything, but the one thing I want to point out and to remind everyone is how powerful our thoughts are. And even though a lot of times we are captivated and overpowered by our fears, we ought not to give a lot of energy to those fears because what we are indeed doing is allowing them to really manifest in their lives, in our lives. And this is what happened to you. There were your fears. Yes, there were. But for an entire life, there were your fears, and you embraced them with everything you got, and you helped them to manifest. So I want to show the listeners to learn the lesson here in this conversation, because it's a reason you are hearing them. When you realize these fears, you need to affirm yourself out of them and instead harness the strengths that you have and work on those strengths so you can indeed move on.
Absolutely.
I wanted to kind of fast forward to what's happening now, because we only have 30 minutes remaining in this episode. So
sure.
I want to kind of summarize your thought right here and then fast forward, please.
Sure. Well, it leads me to where I am today. After realizing that I finally learned what God was telling me, to find something else to be able to do some great things of things that I've wanted to do my entire life, I started looking at other vehicles. And one of the vehicles that I looked at, was the whole industry of direct sales and network marketing.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I did that was because I knew that I'd be able to help masses and masses of people, not only from a monetary perspective, but from hope, giving people hope. And I found myself really searching for an environment within that, and I found one. I found a great home with the Hager Marketing Group and an awesome company called Zree. And I found myself now having sales teams that believe in me and that I believe in them, and I'm helping them become this person that they hope to become, the same thing that I looked at myself years back. And these last 5 years, without a doubt, has been such a blessing. I have learned so many valuable, valuable lessons. I have an amazing mentor and coach. Susan Walsh is her name. And she has helped me see so many different things on how to truly love and respect people. And to not everybody is going to be as you want them to be, but you need to find the beauty in them, find what they're best at, because everybody's really great in something. We just need to reach down as leaders and find out what that is. So right now I have a very successful career. Daphne, I am living the time of my life. I am closer to God than I've ever been in my entire life, because He showed me so many different ways, and I finally was able to open up my eyes and say, this is why I'm here. And it has totally made me a person of trust. I'm so loyal to the people that I work with, and I want to continue to make as many changes in people's lives as they do for me, because when I mentor and coach someone, Daphne, I learn more from them than they can even imagine learning from me. I grow constantly with them, and it's a wonderful feeling to be able to take my experiences from the past and take the positive experiences from the past and bring them to today and help so many, so many, many people. I hope that's what you're looking for. I'll be more than happy to answer questions for you. But it's been a wonderful experience.
The technical challenge in the beginning, I did not remind the listeners of the phone number to call in with questions, and that number is 646-915-8166. And that's where you can call if you have questions for Phyllis. And the chat room is up as well. I want to piggyback, Phyllis, on something you mentioned about your ability now in investing in people. That is such a rewarding thing, because in our lives, that is the only investment portfolio that does not go up and down. When we invest in human beings, our dividends are always on the rise. So if it's only one person you can find to invest in their lives, go ahead and do that, because I can tell you that's one portfolio that's not going to go into recession.
You're
find
absolutely right.
In that person, you continue to invest in them, and in the long run, you will be glad you did. I was reading early this morning with Michael Jordan being looking for to be inducted into the Hall of Fame, and the media and people he knew all were thinking of who he was going to get to do his presentation, and it's like people would say he got them from the blind side, because he selected someone, and the news was saying who was not his coach and someone he did not play with nor against, but it was someone who he was kind of mimicking all his life since he was 11 years old. And everybody was puzzled when they saw the person. So keep investing in people, you know. They can be watching you from a distance. It does not matter. But you will be glad you did. You know, be a role model. You know, be an inspiration. Be sure that the life you live is an inspiration for others. So I just wanted to get that in. And I also want to remind again about the phone number. It is 646-915-8166. And you can call in if you have, not if, but when you have questions for Phyllis. Phyllis.
Yes.
I am sure there are so many. But as you think back over your 27 years in corporate America, if you could pick out 6 or 7 things that helped you to be so successful now in the new path that you have taken, what would those things be?
Well, there's so many different things, and to try to break it down, I'm sure I can do that. You know, I think there is really like 8 empowering. Oh my goodness! See, you don't have to be able to talk to be able to do this. Qualities that people that I looked at and that I found, you know, going through the years. You know, one of the things that I saw was, you know, as an entrepreneur, there are types of people, you know, that you see, you know, the silver lining in the dark cloud, and you're not going to rest until you turn it to gold. So one of the things is, you know, being able to see the opportunity in someone, you know, and be able to help them manifest that opportunity. Another thing that I've learned, you know, throughout the years is, you know, about empowering is knowing how to seize a moment. You know, this type of as a business leader, you know, you want to, you're like a roaring lion, you know, stalking its prey. You want to pounce on the slightest hint of a chance to make an extra return, you know, on it is or whatever it is that you're doing. The other thing that I found was like loving risk, you know, in fact, you know, thrive on risk. You know, so many times in our life, we choose to go away from something that's risky because we're afraid of failure. And so, but choose to live life on an edge where you can think, you know, deeply, you know, and fill your cup with adrenaline to be able to succeed, because a lot of times we don't. You know, the other thing is that I eliminated the term impossible. I don't ever say impossible. That is not a part of my personal vocabulary. You know, I have great faith and my ability to achieve bold vision. So you can't be out there saying that's impossible. You know, there's you have to be able to show a lot of people and yourself that everything is possible. You know, it truly, truly is. Not to be afraid to go the extra mile. You know, work hard knowing that the results will be well worth the effort. And the other thing that I've found throughout the years, too, is basically, you know, work every angle. You know, entrepreneurs leave no stones unturned, Bev. They don't. They just don't. Do not leave any stones unturned, Daphne, because believing is just one discovery away from the best invention, you know, that they could find. And I believe that wholeheartedly. you know, there's some different things that I see, different characteristics that I've tried to find throughout the years. You know, be disciplined and, you know, be focused and have the ability to work alone, because see, you're the person, you have to motivate yourself in order to motivate others. And that's something that I learned so much, you know, throughout the years of being in business and helping others to succeed. Okay. So they're some of the most things that I've actually found myself to, you know, to come across in the last, you know, 27 years that have helped me grow in so many different ways in the success that I'm having today.
Good. All right. So you did give the listeners seven things that can guide them as entrepreneur or as a small business owner. You know, we oftentimes go seeking for other people's approval in the things we are doing instead of committing ourselves to the journey we are on, knowing that so long as we are focused and disciplined and we believe in what we are doing, as we grow, others will begin to believe in what we are doing. Because, you know, the people that we know, they tend to figure they know us so well. And this is why they try to protect us all the time, and they don't want us to take risks, and because they don't want to see us hurt. Because they, especially if they are family members, they'll say, oh, honey, you remember the last time when you did such and such and it didn't work out, and that last time was when you were 8 years old, and now you're 48, you know?
Yeah.
So 40 years later, they are still working on protecting you from that failure. So you have to set your path out, set your sail, and go sailing. Because whether or not they take that, the beginning of that voyage with you, as you progress, they are going to want to be part of what you are doing. Phyllis, would you take this time? We only have 18 minutes remaining. Please tell the listeners how to get in touch with you. Please give out your contact information.
Absolutely. And my contact information, my email address is P as in Peter, dot my last name, which is C-I-A. N is in Nancy, F is in Frank, R, A, N as in Nancy, O, and that's at comcast.net. And I'm going to give you my office number, which is 267-269-8724. And I just want to say one thing, Daphne, that I think is very important based on what you had just talked about. You know, you're right about when you're 8 years old, you're told something and you kind of keep that with you for the rest of your life. And that's where you have to develop your personal growth plan. And I haven't touched on that, but I got to tell you that without a doubt has been the best experience of my life, because see, your income growth will never, never, never exceed your personal growth. Your spiritual growth will never, never exceed your personal growth.
So why
don't you
take this time to go into what your investment in your personal growth has done for both you, your family, and your career, Phyllis?
Absolutely. You know, the first thing I did was I identified some key areas of my life that I wanted to develop. You know, I wanted to look at, what my goals, my personal aspirations are. And I wanted to, I needed to take some time to actually do that. And I did. You know, I looked for resources then. That was the next step I took in areas. I looked for different resources in books. I mean, John Maxwell is one of one of my key people that I read on a regular basis. I do a lot of reading. The great book is the Bible. You know, that teaches you a lot of great things about personal growth and development. And it's free. You know, there's so many different books inside the book. There's so many tapes and seminars and trainings that I've been through that I had to look. But again, I had to look at the key areas which I needed to develop. And sometimes that's hard to find, you know, Daphne. It's really hard to find. So sometimes you may have to look to someone else, like your family, and say, family, or, you know, your children, or your husband, or your wife, you know, what is it that you feel that I need to do? Where do I need to grow? Because sometimes you don't see it in yourself. And then when you start to determine what those are, you got to set aside an hour a day to dedicate yourself to that personal growth. You're going to need to create an hour each day to implement your growth plan. And this is a regular time that you should really set aside, you know, to focus on developing those areas that you identified. You could do that by reading, by writing, keeping a journal. You could do it on reflecting. You can do it on a spiritual reading, but taking that hour aside. The other thing that I learned, that I did, that's helped change me personally and helped change my life with my family and my career, was find a mentor and build a relationship with other growing people. This is one of the most undervalued areas of personal development, Daphne. Relationships with growing people will help you grow more quickly than any other resource I know.
Right,
you know, look for mentors to support you and guide you in each of these key areas, you know, whatever areas they are that you identified, you know. And that is an incredible way of start to build your personal development, and is finding a mentor. And you don't hear a lot about that anymore.
Right.
You know,
people will say, oh, but doesn't that cost money, and doesn't that cost that? And, you know, I tell people, if you're in a group and you look around and you are the go-to person because you are the smartest one in the group, you have outgrown that group and you need to move on, because it simply means that you are only planting, you are not receiving. So when you are part of a group and you find out, I have outgrown these people, you need to take a respectful exit. And don't feel guilty about it, because if you are committed to your personal growth, you understand that each thing is for a season, and we have to acknowledge and receive and respect that season when it comes to an end. It's like the season we are coming up to now, Phyllis, a fall. You find out everybody's going out and they're cutting the shrubs down and they're cleaning out the dead weeds and they're doing all those things, because when spring comes, they are looking for a beautifully well-arranged, fully beautiful bloom garden. But if they didn't do the work in the fall, when it comes around to springtime, they would have all the dead plants and everything there. So that's the same thing with our lives. We have to choose our relationships in a way that it will bring value to not only us as a person, but to our vision and mission that we are on.
Absolutely.
So I want to thank Phyllis for pointing out that about relationship with grown people and mentors and coaches. Continue, please.
Sure. And one of the final things that I wanted to say about the whole part of, you know, of how to develop your personal growth is, you know, as you develop the areas you identify, you know, into yourself, you also have to apply what you learn. So even if you're working with a mentor and a coach, you really need to apply those things. Because the key outcome we're looking for as a result of our personal development is action, you know. So we want to be able to, you know, take what we learn, put action behind it, and then create new behaviors that will it will turn around and create new results, where new knowledge, and it'll only increase your sense of pride in yourself, and it'll make life-changing life-changing results in you and in the people around you. I find my daughter now, Daphne, you know, I'm sitting in my office right now and I look around and I have goals on my walls. I have all sayings on my walls from different people. I'm looking at one right now. It says, the day you begin to stare down your fears and worries and instead act courageously, your life will change. You'll be set free to fly like you've never had before. You will accomplish things you only once dreamed of. You will experience things you thought were only for others. The courageous ones, you will begin to live your dreams. And that's my daughter walks around, and she takes little sticky notes, and she puts them around as well, setting goals for herself and inspirational thoughts. So it has brought so much joy to me, the learning that I've gotten from my mentor, Susan Walsh and Brad Hager, and because I brought so many things to her, and she's growing up in an environment of a positive person.
That's
you know,
right.
Like you said.
Our children model us, and they don't necessarily have to vocalize it, but you believe me, they are watching us keenly. And the first time you hear them repeat something that you have said, whether it's positive or negative, when it's positive, you're proud, but when it's negative, you're calling them on that, and, you know, where did you get that from? And, of course, they got it from you, but because you weren't watching, you don't really know. So we have to be careful in the messages that we are passing on to others, our children, our community, our co-workers, our business partners. And one more thing you said, Phyllis, that was so important was the about motivation and the things you have on your wall. A lot of people don't understand that motivation is an inside job. You know, and other people, your mentor, your coaches, the seminars, the books, the workshops, the CDs, those things inspires you to be motivated. So a lot of people keep traveling around and looking for motivation, and the motivation is indeed in you. So just keep inspiring yourself, and then hopefully you will focus on keeping yourself motivated. Phyllis, I wanted to please take the next 4 minutes to just summarize your thoughts, and we'll definitely need to have you back again on the show so you can just help the entrepreneurs and the small business owners to grow. So please
absolutely
summarize.
I will. Thank you so much, Daphne. First, I want to say thank you so much for having me. And you know, I can leave you with a couple thoughts. And one is, you know, believe in yourself. You know, believe that you can do what it is that you put set yourself to. And if you don't believe in yourself, find someone else who does, because there are so many people right in your own backyard that believe in you more than you believe in yourself. Find that person and hook arms with that person, because they're going to be able to take you to such greatness, and you're going to be able to teach them such greatness as you go along the way as well. So, you know, I can go on and on and on, Daphne, and I'm so looking forward to coming back and being able to share things, because this is what I love to do. I'd love to be able to put out some great information to be able to help people find things in themselves that perhaps they would never have looked for. And you're right, motivation comes from within. You got to reach down and you have to grab it, because it's not going to come on its own.
That's right. It's there. You know, I want to thank you, and I pray that you'll stick around and spend the rest of time with us. We have another powerful woman coming on, Denise Michaels, and Denise
absolutely
joining us out of Las Vegas, and we have a call on. Caller, good morning. Your last four numbers are 3132. Do you have a question for Phyllis? I guess the caller just want to. Your first three digits, caller, is 713. Do you have a question? Okay, maybe that person just wants to listen. Well, we love you, and we greatly appreciate it. And I just want to give the listeners the lineup of our guests that is I have all lined up for you coming up, so you can know to set some time aside. On the 16th, we have Divya, who is out of New York. And if you're looking about harnessing your quiet time, mentoring and all that kind of stuff, you will want to be on that show when Divya comes on. We have a call. Caller, your first three digits are 702. Good morning. Would you state your name, please? And where
Hello,
you're
this,
from?
This is Denise Michaels. I'm calling in from Las Vegas.
Good morning, Denise. Denise, I wanted to meet Phyllis, and she's on the line. She was our first guest. I want to introduce you both because you both belong to my Facebook family. So meet each other's ladies.
Hi, Phyllis.
Hi, Denise. How are you?
I'm terrific. How about yourself?
I am just super. Thank you. It was an amazing show, and I am so blessed to be here, and I'm sure everyone's going to be so excited to hear what you have to offer them as well. So best wishes.
Okay.
Well, thank you so much, and I'm glad you had a great show, and I'm looking forward to a great show, too.
Right. And, Denise, we are experiencing some technical challenges. So at the end of this episode, I'm actually going to sign out and sign back in. So at about 2 minutes, wait. 10, I'm going to sign off and I'm going to come back in. So
do you want me to call back in or stay on?
You can call back at that time as well.
Okay, great.
So I want to just give update on who is coming in. On the 19th, I'm having the return visit of Miss Dina Herbert. And Dina, again, is another savvy entrepreneur. And on the 23rd, we are having the great, the magnificent Mr. Willie Crawford. And you don't want to miss Willie. He will just explain to you how he moved from being out the military to where he is today, a successful millionaire. And on the 26th, we are going to be having Mrs. Susan Walsh. You heard Denise mentioned about Susan in her time here spent with me. So we have some great guests. You know I always promise you that I'll bring the best on for you. And as I want you to come back and join me this on the second episode. Normally we don't have to do this, but this morning we are experiencing a lot of technical challenges, and I want to just sign out this morning so we can and come back on so we can have all the systems work in the way they're supposed to work. So I want to thank you, Phyllis. I thank you for coming on with us this morning, and I hope you'll come back for the second episode.
Absolutely will. I'm going to listen in as well. Thank you so much for having me, Daphne, and thank you to your listeners.
And thank you for adding value to my listeners.
You're welcome.
Great.
You too. Bye-bye now.
Bye. Good morning, Denise.
Good morning, Daphne.
I am having such a challenge this morning with the system, so I just have to love it and bless it.
Yeah.
I want to
thank you. That's about all you can do.
Huh?
I said that's about all you can do.
That is about all we can do. I want to thank you for your patience, and I want to ask you to just go ahead and please introduce yourself to the listeners.
Well, my name is Denise Michaels, and I am author of a business best-selling book called Testosterone Free Marketing, and it's all about why women have a tendency to hold back when it comes to success, which I consider being all about marketing and selling, in their home-based and small businesses. And I said it's called Testosterone Free Marketing. And I'm just really, really excited to be here telling you and your listeners all about it.
Okay, but I have to back up a little. I'll give you an opportunity later on, Denise, to talk about the book. But what I want you to kind of focus on is the importance of marketing and PR, even as a small business owner and an entrepreneur, because a lot of times people under those two labels tend to think that they don't have the budget, they don't have the money to do those things. And I know that is something that you focus on a lot. It's about marketing and sales and all of that. And yes, we will get later on to your book and to talk about how men and women differ. But in the beginning here, I want you to just focus on those two areas that I mentioned. And I want for you at this time, please, to just tell the listeners about your humble beginnings and how you got started out on the journey that you're now on.
Well, thanks, Daphne. I appreciate that. And yes, marketing and selling is absolutely essential. It can be done with very, very small budgets, and I'm always talking with people how they can do it on, you know, a shoestring budget. In fact, public relations, if you know how to do it, can be done for pretty darn close for free. But going back a little bit to my story, I was born in Detroit, Michigan. Lived there the first 34 years of my life, and what I always wanted to do, and it was pretty humble beginnings. You know, my dad was an engineer, and my mom was a stay-at-home mom, and I can remember my mom, you know, griping about the price of hamburger or the price of, you know, milk and, you know, really basic kinds of things. But I remember when I was 8 years old, I decided I wanted to be a writer. And my whole life really has been around how do I keep writing. And I think it was when I was in high school, I discovered there was such a thing as advertising copywriters. And I thought, oh, that's cool. I mean, I'm not writing, you know, the next great American novel, but it's writing, right? So I started to take an interest in that, and my first foray into marketing actually was between my junior and senior years in high school when I did an unpaid internship for a gal who was the director of public relations for the largest shopping mall in the suburban Detroit area. And my second media release that I wrote made the front page of the Detroit Free Press, all over the newspapers, you know, which is a pretty heady thing for a 17-year-old kid. And I was just absolutely hooked. And the crazy thing is, as much as I love writing, you know, I mean, that's my first love, I enjoy marketing just as much. I find it really fascinating. And to me, it's not this sort of dry, calculated, statistical kind of thing as it is for a lot of people who do marketing for large corporations. For me, it's all about the psychology of buying behavior. You know, what makes people say yes to buy something? What clicks off in their brain and makes them say yes? And it's that psychology of buying behavior one customer at a time. Now, when I got out of school, I did become an advertising copywriter for a few years. I worked in the advertising department at the international headquarters for Kmart Corporation. And it sounds kind of like a lofty thing, but Kmart as an employer in their headquarters was known for paying people far, far less than what anybody else paid for the same kinds of jobs. But it was a recessionary time at the time, and most people who are from the Detroit or Michigan area know that when the national economy gets a cold, Detroit has full-blown pneumonia. In fact, I just heard a statistic yesterday that Michigan's unemployment rate is the top in the nation at 15% right now. So I was an advertising copywriter. I did that for a few years, and I bought my first business from my former father-in-law. He had owned it for 10 years. It was a telephone answering service. This was back in the day when you had an answering machine next to your phone, and back then, the idea of having a machine answer the phone rather than you pick up the phone was still considered kind of rude. So this telephone answering service was for businesses all over a small suburban town outside of Detroit, and I bought it, like I say, from my father-in-law, and within 1 year, I was able to lower operating costs by 10% and increase revenues by 40%. And I didn't do it by spending a lot of money because, believe me, I didn't have a lot of money to spend. I did it by talking to people and building relationships. And that's, you know, one of the big things that marketing is all about. It's about communication skills, building relationships, and solving problems. And we're going to talk about that man-woman thing later. But, you know, just as like a little teaser, men and women do those three things, communications, building relationships, and solving problems very, very differently. So I owned that business for about a year and a half, and then I sold it to someone else. And then I went on and worked in the financial services industry for about 4 or 5 years. And I worked sort of my first year and a half, I was sort of like an apprentice to a guy who was very, very successful in that industry. He was like 32 years old and making, you know, $250,000 a year. And we're talking, this is back over 20 years ago. And I would go on sales calls with him, and I would help him put the proposals together. And he loved my proposals, and, of course, I loved doing it because I was writing again, right? And then after about a year and a half, 2 years, he said, Denise, you're ready to go on your own and do your own thing. And I was terrified. I was absolutely terrified. And, you know, a lot of that experience of being afraid of the marketing and selling is what resulted in gradually writing my book. And it was a couple of years later that I ended up going west to San Diego. I lived in San Diego for 10 years. And I had, by this time, I had experience in advertising, copywriting, running my own business, putting together, you know, proposals and agreements. I had worked a part-time job for like 6 months, you know, and a couple semesters in college in market research for a large market research firm. You know, I'd done marketing plans. I mean, I had this pretty varied experience by this time. And so I sought out to kind of go out and do sort of some consulting, copywriting, PR, like my own little marketing firm for people. And I did that for a number of years. And then I ended up, and I can't believe it because it's 10 years this November, I connected with a guy who is a New York Times best-selling author of books on entrepreneurship and creating your own business and all this kind of stuff. And he was looking for an assistant. And so I lied to get the job because I had all this experience in marketing that he didn't want. He wanted an executive assistant. And the thing that's so funny about it is what got me the job is he's asking me, how are my skills in bookkeeping? And I said, plotting. And I said, how are you when it comes to organization? And I said, well, I can do it, but I'm kind of slow. I mean, the interview is going nowhere, right? And I thought, I got to turn this around fast, or I've wasted my drive all the way across town to come to this guy. So I said, look, I see my role as supporting you and making you look good. And it was amazing, Daphne, because what happened was his entire body language changed. I mean, up until that point, he was sitting on the sofa in his fancy schmancy home with his, like, arms folded across his chest and his legs crossed and everything. And the minute I said that, I see my role as supporting you and making you look good. It's like his body language totally, you know, opened up. The legs uncrossed. His elbows were on his knees, and he's, like, holding his face, you know, with his hands. And, like, tell me more. And I swear, even when I talk to my mentoring clients or teleclasses or whatever, I tell them that is a really good line to use, you know. And I've
That's
used
right.
it since then. And I really think it was one of those divine things where I went, I am dying on the vine here, God, help me, you know. Give
right.
me something to say that makes sense. Well, within about, I was his assistant for a while, and he found out how much I knew about marketing. And within about a year and a half after that, I started doing teleclasses and mentoring people. And over the course of about 7.5 years, I've mentored like 1,400 people in how to get their small businesses started and marketing and entrepreneurship and all that kind of stuff. And when my book came out then, I said, thank you very much. It's been great 7.5 years. And, you know, now I'm on my own doing my own thing. So there's my story.
Right. So much. And, you know, I thank you for continuing during technical times. And, about this technology. Please.
Yeah, it's...
You know, I thank you for continuing the conversation, and the system will see us through to the end. And it's amazing that you come back here and you're on this episode speaking about mentoring and all of that, which is something that Phyllis raised. Team for entrepreneurs and
social. Daphne, you're cutting out. I'm having a hard time hearing you.
Yeah, no, I understand that you probably are not.
Daphne, you're cutting out to the. I can't hear anything right now. I'm still here.
Yes, I know you're still there, and I am still. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Daphne's giving us a challenge this morning. So, you went in, you saw an opportunity. To do to get your foot in the door.
Right.
And that's what entrepreneurs and you call it lying on whatever label you did, but you have to have a desire in getting what you did to get yourself through the door. And whatever it takes, so long as you don't have to kill anybody.
Well, I wasn't lying about what I could do. I mean, he was asking about bookkeeping, and I wasn't giving him a very happy answer about that, you know. But, you know, I did tell him what I could do, and I kind of left out a lot of things that he wasn't necessarily looking for that eventually he really was looking for. And at the point when he was looking for it, there I was, right there, and he trusted me and had a relationship and everything.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah, because you have you are sure what you brought to the table.
Right.
And expose it all in the beginning. You wanted in, and now you are in, and you are going to stay in until you get the result you wanted.
Well, the other thing is, Daphne, is that it also comes from a clarity of knowing about what I want to spend my time doing. And that's right. really, really important. Now, like, here you are, you're kind of struggling with the technology of this call, and I was on the phone last night at 9 o'clock with a computer guy, you know, going over this stuff because I'm having a brand-new blog set up and everything, and I don't enjoy that stuff. I'll be really honest with you. But I have a really, really strong focus on, you know, I mean, yeah, there's some things that you have to do in business, but I have a really, really strong focus that my primary, what my whole business is about, has to be something that I really love. And this morning you were saying you and I are connected as Facebook friends. I got a message on Facebook that someone said, are you open to new streams of residual income? Well, it's probably something about a network marketing company, and that's all fine and good. I mean, there's a lot of people that do those companies and really, truly enjoy them. But I got really, really clear that that wasn't how I wanted to spend my time, my hours. And so I've always kept my focus on what it is that I want to do. And I have to tell you honestly, Daphne, the time that I was absolutely the least happy in my life have been those times when I disconnected from that and I wasn't writing. You know, I wasn't doing the thing that I loved.
Right. That's what is very important in each of our lives, Dennis, is harnessing us. It is on the things that we are passionate about. And I want to remind the listeners that they can with their questions, and the number is 646-915-8166. We have a caller on, and I just want to be certain whether they have a question or they are just listening, Denise. So if caller, good morning. You have a 718. Any question for Denise? Hello, caller.
Welcome. You've got mail.
Okay, well, I guess they're probably listening, Denise. I don't want to miss anybody because when the technology is acting up, you know, and I don't want to give any energy to that. I just know that the remaining time here is going to be worth the listener's time, and I just want to thank God for touching this equipment in the effectiveness and efficiency that it was created to do. Yes, so want to talk. You spend your time mentoring and developing others. Let us talk about that. Denise?
Yes, I'm right here.
Okay. I'm saying you spend a lot.
I do spend a lot of time mentoring and developing others. You bet.
Yes. Yes. Would you please speak to that for a minute?
Well, it started, I was teaching teleclasses for this author, which if anyone is familiar with the name Robert Allen, he's the original nothing down real estate investing guy, but kind of like branched out into lots of different areas of entrepreneurship. But what happened was he was teaching these classes in how to do sort of like the book seminar kind of thing, you know. And I told him, look, if these people don't know or understand what marketing is, I said they're going to be lost and they're not going to be able to implement the ideas that you're giving them. So he said, okay, create a teleclass on marketing. And I did. And one teleclass led to two, led to three, led to four. And at one point I was teaching five teleclasses a week for him. But what I found is that, you know, because I would have maybe, I don't know, 20, 30 people on the call every week, you know, I couldn't go into specifics about one person was doing a business that was about maybe they were a physical therapist and somebody else had a business where they were, you know, writing a book on golf and somebody else had a business where they were, you know, in real estate or whatever it was. I had to give sort of generalized terms for marketing, stuff that everybody would benefit from. And keep in mind, these people paid $5,000 to be in this program, and they got me.
Wow.
So what I was finding is people were saying, this is great information, this is great information. But I just got the sense, you know, kind of one taco short of a combination plate, that some of the people, they didn't know how to take what I was sharing, which was kind of generalized, and apply it to their specific situation. So I started, you know, people would email me asking a question. I was like, oh, my goodness, it'd be just easier to talk to them on the phone, ask them some questions, and give them some ideas. Because I'm really, really good at crystallizing, like taking, you know, two or three different disparate ideas and sort of pulling it all together into a whole, whether that whole is the title of a book or a business model or whatever it is. So I got to this point where I was doing these one-on-one calls with these people just to help them kind of crystallize the thing. And that sort of phased and segued into the marketing thing and the marketing mentoring work that I do. And now I have mentoring clients that have been with me because they just keep growing their business and they keep building and they go to the next level and I help take them to the next level. I have some people that have been with me a year and a half. I've got a mentoring client that's brand new that's starting with me tomorrow. But the whole idea is on helping them have the foundation of their marketing in place, all right, like understanding who your ideal customer is and what their core values are and what makes them tick and what are the benefits of what you offer. And when you have those core pieces in place, then you can create a marketing plan. And the other thing I want to say that's really, really important about the mentoring work that I do is it's designed to work with a person's goals, what they want to achieve. Now, I have some people that want to have big, successful businesses, all right? And I have other people that say, look, I don't want to work any more hours than I'm working right now. You know, my husband is semi-retired. He wants me to spend less time on my business. I just want to spend make more money with the hours I'm already putting into my business, you know. So, you know, it's all about creating the strategies to help you reach your goals rather than what you think somebody else, your goals should be or somebody else's goals are or
something
like that. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, because what I hear you say is that your mentoring service customized each client's needs, and that's a wonderful thing because we are all unique and we have different goals.
What's really even more important than our goals is our core values, because we create the goals to try to satisfy our core values. And so core values are really, really critical. And I have a client I'll be talking with this afternoon. She is a mother with a three-year-old child, and her husband is a firefighter, and she works her business very successfully, I might add, around their schedules, you know. And
that's
she
right.
basically works about 20 hours a week and makes about $70,000, $80,000 a year and just wants help going to the next level without having to get into that busy, busy, busy mode.
That's right. Okay, Denise, let us talk about women and men. We know what Dr. Gray said, but in your experience, how does men and women when it comes to business and marketing and all of that?
All right. Well, this all came about. Number one, I've always been fascinated by these Mars-Venus differences. And when John Gray came out with that book, you know, Men Are From Mars, Women Are From Venus, I probably was one of the first people in line buying a copy. And so when I was doing all these mentoring calls for men and women, you know, as I was teaching teleclasses and working with all these people, it was just the most natural thing in the world for me to sort of pay attention to the differences between men and women and how they felt about marketing. And what I noticed is that men, generally their attitude is, great, how do I get started, all right, when it comes to marketing and selling. And women,
yes,
their attitude was more like, fine, is there any way I can avoid this? Can I hire you to do it for me? All right. So much, much different attitude about it. And it really came home to me even more when I went to one of these big, you know, seminars that Bob put on. And my job, I was a speaker at those seminars, but I also was kind of like a big schmoozer. And, you know, I would invite like a large group of people with me to lunch or so. And I remember one day I had a large group of people with me at lunch, and all these people are excitedly talking about their business ideas and everything. And you know how when the food comes, everybody goes quiet? So I wanted to keep the conversation going. So I said, so how are you planning to market these businesses? And the guys got all excited, and they continued the conversation, and they're sharing ideas and laughing and everything. And all the women got silent and stayed silent and sat back in their chairs and said nothing all the rest of the way through lunch, and walking back to the hotel where the seminar was at after lunch, you know. And I just thought, what the heck just happened there? You know, I just couldn't fathom it. And so I started really kind of paying attention. And what I learned is that marketing and selling traditionally is very, very masculine. And so I call that testosterone heavy, you know. And I can remember back in my days in financial services, I mean, it was all about sort of like dominating your customer, which is exactly the opposite of what women are taught to do. You know, I mean, you think about it, we're told, be a nice girl, let everybody else go first, don't call the boy,
that.
You know, all those things, right? And, you know, when I would listen to the tapes by Tommy Hopkins or Mark Victor Hansen or all these people, and then I would go to do what I was supposed to do, you know, and I would listen to them over and over again when I'd go out walking in the morning. And then when I have to do it, it was like I could not say the words. I could not get it out. You know, and the few times when I did, I felt like a barracuda, a brazen hussy, and that other B word we don't like so much. So the thing is that marketing and selling traditionally was built around male patterns of behavior. And when women adopt these male patterns of behavior, it's horrible. Number one, it's uncomfortable as all get out, but it's really, really horrible. I mean, you think back to, you know, anybody on this call who remembers in the 1980s when women wore these suits with these massive shoulder pads and ties, and, you know, we had no other examples of success, so we were trying to emulate men because we thought that's what it was going to take to be successful. And, you know, huge boomerang, totally unsuccessful.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
So testosterone-free marketing is all about, number one, finding balance, because there are some ways that you can sort of increase your level of assertiveness by, number one, recognizing that what's appropriate in your personal life, you know, this idea of don't call the boy or whatever, is not necessarily appropriate in business. You know, we'll maybe meet somebody at a networking event, and we'll get a business card, and we'll call them on the phone. And then when they don't call back, you know, we'll go, well, I called them, I'm not going to call them again. You know, that's kind of like dating behavior when you think about it, right? And in business, I mean, shoot, you have to call people a few times these days before, you know, they ever get back in touch with you. I have to call my mom three times before she gets back with me, right? So, you know, it's all about kind of like separating this masculine behavior and understanding that it's appropriate for you to go there in business, and then separate it from the masculine behavior that is totally going to boomerang. It's not going to work at all for you. And how to do it as a woman, how to do it your own way and get great results. So women, you know, who sort of have this tendency to hold back when it comes to success, I find the main reason, it's not because they don't want to be successful, it's because they don't want to act like a guy, you know? And, you know, when I say...
ladies don't that.
When I say this to men, at first they don't quite get it, but if I say to them, if you were told that the only way for you to be successful was to act in a way that was vaguely feminine, would you do it? And they go, no way. Forget about it. I wouldn't do it.
Wow.
Right? So
wow.
Women are doing the same thing.
That's right. That's right. Because, you know, Denise, subconscious, we were programmed. I thought that that's not ladylike. Ladies don't do that. Act like ladies. Labels and things that we were programmed into.
Right.
And, you know, after years of programming, it takes some time.
Right. Right.
So I want to thank you for investing your time into this book that can really women so that we can really strive for the success that we are deserving.
Right. Well, and the thing is,
5 minutes.
I think what happens is a lot of women sort of look at how they're supposed to behave, and they're looking at it at the lens, through the lens or through the glasses, if you will, of their personal lives and their personal behavior and what's considered the standard and what they were raised with telling, you know, a good girl does this and a nice girl does that and a lady does that, you know. And mm-hmm. And I believe in always being pleasant and being polite, all right, but being politely persistent, okay, politely
That's right.
determined,
That's
right. okay?
That's right. That's right. I Denise, we have 23 minutes remaining.
Okay.
I want you to give the listeners your contact information, please.
Okay, sure. The best way to reach me is through my websites. And so I'm going to give people addresses for both of them, and then they can go to the contact page, and there's email addresses and all that good stuff there. So if you go to my website for mentoring is mentoringwithdenise.com. Once again, that's mentoringwithdenise.com. And by the way, if you go to that page, if you click on a link that says get the book, you can find out more information about my book and all that stuff there. But there's a lot of information that tells you more about the mentoring work that I do. Now, for other people, they might be interested in my Empower You Academy website, and that's at empoweryouacademy.com. And I have lots of great, and I'm developing more, audio downloadable programs in like how to make customers happily say yes, my holistic goal setting, and others, and people can sign up. I've got terrific free marketing and empowerment tips because I really believe that your business growth can't happen any faster than your personal growth. So that's at empoweryouacademy.com. And that website, there's also a link that says get the book, and you can click there. And, again, it goes to the same place with more information about that, but that would be the two best ways for people to connect with me.
Well, thank you. Denise, as an entrepreneur / small business owners, what were some of the challenges you faced within your business?
Both
past and present.
Right, right. I would say, Daphne, that one of the most brilliant things I ever did is I wrote a book on marketing for women and the challenges that women have. All right. And one of my little taglines I use sometimes, you know, like I have little things I do, like postcards I send out locally and stuff I do, but I've used this tagline, does the thought of marketing and selling in your business almost drive you to chocolate? You know, and the idea is to use some humor. So one of the most brilliant things I ever did was write a book about marketing because women hate marketing. But one of the dumbest things I ever did was write a book about marketing because women hate marketing, you know. And so what mm-hmm. I think that I did is I wrote a book that was sort of ahead of its time. And that's always challenging in marketing. You know, there's case studies in business that show that the microwave oven was actually developed in the 1950s. But back in the 1950s, women were all still at home. You know, they were stay-at-home moms, most of them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there was all this pride around being a good wife and making a homemade meal and everything. And when the microwave oven absolutely surged is after women were finally getting into the workplace in droves in the 1970s and 80s, and then every house had to have a microwave oven, right? So it was an idea that the technology came before its time. So I think one of the biggest challenges that I've had is that I developed an idea, a concept, a way of looking at things that was before its time. And what I'm seeing just in the last couple months is a lot more evidence that the idea is one whose time has come. Because when I first came out with the idea for the book, you know, we were still living in this fairy tale world of saying, oh, men and women are exactly the same. There's no differences. You know, and that was a holdover from the, you know, the whole feminist, you know, equal rights era, which, you know, there was a lot of very good things that came out of that. But the idea that our brains work the same and our thinking is the same and, you know, all of that, it now has been very soundly disproved. So coming out with an idea that's ahead of its time means you've got this sort of education thing to do with people. And that has been challenging, and now I'm finding it's becoming much, much easier because people really click with the idea that we are so different as men and women.
Yes, 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 yes. You know, and that, and coaching comes into play because when the voice in the back is a trick with us and tell us what we can do because we are women, the resources that we are connected to out of those situations and those issues.
Well, you kind of like cut in and out a couple of times while you were sort of framing your question. So I'm going to take a stab at it. And if I'm wrong, stop me and sort of redirect me. But I think what you were saying is sort of like, how do we deal with marketing and deal with the fact that we were conditioned and programmed so differently? Is that sort of the gist of your question? Okay, good. Biggest thing, all right, is about understanding that the differences exist, understanding that you were raised to be a mom, a wife, a sister, a daughter, and all these things, maybe an employee, all right, a student, but you were, chances are very, very strong that you were not raised to be a business owner, all right? And so that means when you recognize that your programming was all about how to be a wife and a mom and all these good things, right, and not a business owner, you can recognize that sometimes, you know, when that thing comes up in you that goes, oh, I shouldn't say that, oh, I shouldn't do that, go, wait a minute. You know, is this my programming speaking, you know, that tells me I'm supposed to be a nice mom and, you know, speak when spoken to and all those kinds of lessons? Or does this make sense in the business environment? So what I call that in my book is making different conscious choices. In other words, questioning those knee-jerk reactions and saying, wait a minute, does this really work in business? You know?
Exactly.
Right? Because I have a lot of people who say, you know, well, I don't want to do this, and I don't want to do that, and I don't want to do this, and I don't want to do that, and I don't want to do that. And I'm like, okay, and on what planet is this a successful business model? You know? And I think we so strongly have this idea of you can have it all, and you can work part-time, and you can have, you know, have your own business 10 hours a week and make it, you know, six figures a year in the next 6 months. I mean, it's crazy making, but people get to a place where they really believe it. And generally what is involved is ramping up your assertiveness level. And what's really, really important for a lot of your listeners to realize, Daphne, is that a tremendous amount of women will be very, very assertive in social settings. I mean, they're very comfortable going up to someone new and talking to them and all this kind of stuff, all right? But when they are in a business setting, all right, and when it comes to the asking for the money and the clothes and explaining what you're charging and that stuff, that's where they kind of like flip out. because women were programmed that the man handles the money, and that's kind of like not very nice, yucky stuff for the women to do. So that's another area where it's like make different conscious choices. Question those knee-jerk reactions.
Right. Because we see ourselves as nurturers, as you say, and, you know, a mother, and, the father is the provider. He goes out, and he is the sole breadwinner. And we are just supposed to be there to be, you know, be proper. And one of the things about being proper in our programming is that we don't ask for money. It's ladies, you know?
Well, you know, so I have a whole thing that I share when I do speaking engagements about asking, you know? And, you know, because we were taught don't ask.
So I
and
guess
I'll say,
we
okay,
need...
how many of you don't want to ask your husband or boyfriend for what you really want for Christmas, Valentine's Day, or your birthday? And almost all of them raise your hand. It's like, how many want to try to get him to figure out what it is you want by, like, hinting or, you know, like, throwing a little idea down but not really telling him what you want? And they'll say,
you know what,
I don't know if that works in your relationship or not, but I tell my husband, go to this store, ask for this sales clerk, here's the color I want, here's my size, right? I'm very clear. And the thing is this whole thing about hinting around and the whole deal, and I have a story in my book about that when I was 9 years old and selling Girl Scout cookies about how I asked for the sale, and my mom got all upset because I'd sold so many boxes of Girl Scout cookies. She was, like, terrified because I'd asked her friends, you know, just said, would you like to buy a box of Girl Scout cookies from me? But, you know, this whole thing about hinting, you know, it doesn't work very well in your personal life, all right? And it absolutely doesn't work in business.
That's right. So, you know, Denise, and that's another episode. I think we need to invite you to the top of asking.
It's a big deal about asking.
It is a big deal. It's a big hindrance, and not only for entrepreneurs, but for a lot of people. So we invite you back to talk on that topic of asking.
Sure.
I want to remind the listeners that they can call. Is 646-915-166. And she's the author of Testosterone Free Marketing. Yes, Denise, we have meaning in this episode, so we want to start summarizing your thoughts.
Summarizing my thoughts.
Yes, or, you know, closing remarks.
Oh, sure. Okay. All right. Well, you know, the important thing is, and I know that your audience, your listeners, are people who are positive-minded people. So that means they probably have all kinds of different businesses. And I will say that every once in a blue moon, I get a woman who says, well, that's not me. I'm completely confident. I don't have any – I'm not like that. I'm not shy at all. And if you are in a network marketing kinds of business, as I'm sure some of your listeners are, and you have a downline of women and they are not doing as well as you are, you might want to get the book so that you can be in a place to better help them. And for men who are listening on the call, if you're in that kind of business where you've got a team of you know, women underneath you, my book is like a sneak peek behind enemy lines to understand the women on your team and how to help turn them into selling powerhouse, you know. So it really is valuable information that can help a great deal. But the important thing that I do want to leave your listeners with is the idea that we are different as men and women, that marketing and selling is all about listening, communicating, building relationships, and solving problems. And men and women do these things completely differently. And women, if you have had challenges when it comes to the marketing and selling part of your business. Don't think that, okay, I'm going to start another business and now this one will be a lot easier and I'll sell more. You know, every time I've ever met, and I all the time I meet women who are doing, like, trying to do three different businesses at once, all by themselves, and typically what happens is none of those businesses is making money, all right? So it's not necessarily, I'm not saying always, but it's not necessarily the business that you're in, whether it's direct selling or network marketing or your own thing. It's not necessarily that. Look at your skills when it comes to marketing and selling. And very, very often, that's where the challenge is at. Because if there are other people doing the same business and doing well, you know, then it's so easy to look outside of ourselves for the answers. And it's more challenging to look within. And I think one of the things that I always say is that your business growth can't happen any faster than your personal growth. So if you say something like, gee, I wouldn't be willing to, you know, get on a radio show like this, or, you know, I would feel too shy to ask for such and so, or to go to a networking event or do whatever, well, guess what? Then your business is limited, all right, by the fact that you're not willing to do these very high result, low cost ways of getting the word out about your business. So, you know, open your mind and your heart
and understand
the more you grow personally, the more you can empower yourself, the more your business will grow and succeed.
You know, Denise, one of the things I've noticed is that people do this thing backwards. They are worried about the business, about the personal investment in themselves. You know, I know this lady in town here, and she is great, and she doesn't think she can afford a coach. She doesn't think she can buy some books, and she doesn't think she can attend seminars or workshops because, as she puts it, it is too much. And I'm thinking, if you're making X amount now, can you imagine if you really invested in your personal development?
Right.
But people have their priorities backwards, you know?
Yeah, very, very important. In fact, I had a client a couple of years ago. I was working with her, and she's doing very good. She was making great progress with her business. And after 2 months of mentoring, she said, Denise, I can't afford to work with you anymore. And it was like she had so much more growth she could do. And then, you know, you talk about priorities. I found out a couple weeks later she and her husband were having a $30,000 addition put onto their home, you know.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah. So the thing is that we afford the things that matter to us. And for those people who have a business and they spend all this time in what I call original creation, which is really, really fun. It's kind of like deciding what you're going to do and getting the business model together and doing this research. It's really fun. Mm-hmm. But when the rubber meets the road, it's all about marketing and selling. And if you don't know how to do that, if you're not making money, you don't have a business. You have what I call an expensive hobby.
Yes. You know, it's amazing. It's amazing. And, you know, I've gotten something out of our conversation this morning in spite of the technical. If it's okay with you, Denise, I would love to invite you back so you can talk with us about the importance of.
Yeah.
I will shoot you.
I have like some great, great information that I love to share with people about the importance of asking, the importance of getting over shyness, you know, and a lot of these things. Because you're right, it's very, very important to our personal growth, and that results in our business
growth. I will be sending you an email with some times for that, because what's going on now around us, we need to have a clear understanding and for it takes from each of us personally to get to the success and the prosperity that we need. So the topic of asking is a big one, and I know a lot of people is out there nodding their heads and waving their hands because they do well, they network, they do well, but when it comes to the time to ask for the business, it's back down.
Right, right.
So,
right. So important.
Yes, yes, yes. So, Denise, thank you so much for getting up so early.
Oh, well, this wasn't early for me.
I know it is still the wee hours of Vegas, and that's on my list of places to go.
Oh, good.
I have a friend that moved there. Saying, girl, when are you coming? It's
yeah.
just so nice down here. But I want to thank you for investing time in my and I do look forward and pray for a growth in relationship between us, and I we can add value to what each other is doing, Denise. I
mm-hmm.
thank you for spending this your websites one more time, please.
Sure, absolutely. The website with information about one-on-one mentoring with me is at mentoringwithdenise.com. That's mentoringwithdenise.com, all spelled out, no dashes or anything like that. And then the website with the audio learning and the free marketing and empowerment tips is at empoweryouacademy.com. That's empoweryouacademy.com.
All right. I thank you for spending time with us this morning, and I want to go ahead and remind our visitors of some of the guests that are coming up on the 16th, 11 to 12. We have Divya out. The 19th, we have the return visit of Mr. Dean Herbert. And on the 23rd, presence of Mr. Willie Crawford. And on the 26th, we have Susan Wall, who is one of the millionaire women of our time. So I want to thank you to keep praying that this system will come to its fullness in operation. And I just want to call Blog Talk to let them know the challenges that pose when you're on the shows and acting up. So get email flowing to them so that we can have non-challenging on the air. Again, I want to thank Denise for blessing us with her knowledge on her information. I want to remind you that you were created with a purpose. You should find that purpose and you should live it with joy for serving others and making a difference in their lives. I want you to know that destiny, and not allow anyone to tell you otherwise, because you were created. I want to thank each of the listeners that were in the chat room, and apologize for the this morning. In the meantime, follow your destiny. This is Diana of the Empowered Soul saying, and I'll be blessed and be blessed.
call it destiny, will you let me know? What's the plight that you've called me to, the thing I'm set aside to do? I trust you, Lord, to see me through. Will you let me look in your heart?
You've been called to change nations and generations. Come on and praise your God.